As a chef, I know flavor doesn't begin in the kitchen. It begins on the land. And Westholme's nature-led Australian Wagyu is a story written in the landscape of Northern Australia. Cooking is storytelling, and Westholme Wagyu carries a story of Northern Australia itself. Raw, powerful, and deeply authentic. It's a testament to the passion and care raised in the rhythm of Northern Australia. I'm Chef Maylin from 88 Club in Los Angeles, and I invite you to visit westholme.com/Maylin to learn more. And taste a story only Westholme nature-led Australian Wagyu can tell. That's westholme.com/Meilin.
What is your expertise and those kind of that nugget that you always want to build around? I think that's something that you can kind of consistently know that you can turn back to. There's a term, right? Trust is consistency over time. So when people know what Jason is, they know what I'm going to get from Jason. They make sure that they get the latest thing. They're following your newsletter. They're opening your newsletter. It's that idea of when they know what they're going to get from you, there's that trust and there's the consistency of them turning to you for that expertise over time.
Running a business means solving problems. I tell you how the smartest entrepreneurs do it. Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, and this is Problem Solvers. If you want to build a business or build your career, here is a problem. You are finite. You only have so many hours in the day. There are only so many people you can talk with. There are only so many places you can be. But you know what is not finite? Content. Your content. Your content can be everywhere, all the time, reaching people when you sleep. Content is scalable in a way that you are not. And that is the reason to build a personal brand. But the question is, how do you do it? I have been posting every day on LinkedIn for years, and building a personal brand on LinkedIn has been transformative for my work, my career. And now people ask me all the time, how are you doing it? How are you building that personal brand on LinkedIn? I have thoughts, but also I have a secret weapon, which is that I get to talk to people at LinkedIn and they tell me what's working and how LinkedIn is prioritizing different kinds of content. And that has helped me so much. And I am excited to share that with you today because I am not just doing this alone. I am in conversation with Laura Lorenzetti, the executive editor at LinkedIn. We are talking today about how to build your personal brand on LinkedIn and why it matters. Laura, thank you so much for doing this with me.
It is. Delight to be here. It's one of my a topic that is close to my heart.
Awesome. Me too. All right. So here's what we're going to talk about on this video. We're going to talk about how to define that personal brand of yours, how to find things to say, which I think always worries people, and then also how to reach the right people, which really means understanding LinkedIn and the algorithm and the structure that we're operating in. And then fun at the end, we're going to talk about some of the major myths and questions that people have about personal brand building on LinkedIn. So, Laura, you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. So number one is how to define... Well, wait, actually, let me back up. We should talk about, Laura, before we even get into that, why this matters. Like, I said it a little bit, that content is scalable in a way that you're not, but, you know, business is ever-changing, ever-shifting. Why does this matter?
Yeah, I think for a long time, if you built a business, you cared about the business brand, right? You were like, oh, I need marketing, I need PR. And everybody who started a business did that, right? But we're in a new era where people want to hear from people and that the faces behind the business are the business. And that's what people are looking towards. That's what they care about. They want to hear from, right? There is this new trend towards authenticity where people want to know the truth. They want to know what's behind it. And what we see is that at every level, whether you're Sundar Pichai of the CEO of Google all the way down to an entrepreneur starting their business, is that when they log on, when they start their profile, the amount of engagement they get per post still outweighs what people engage with from companies because of that authenticity, because of the person that is behind that business. And I think this is super important for anybody right now, is that if you, whether you're building a business or just building your career, you are your brand, and you need to be able to bring that to the forefront so that other people trust you and that they're following you for your expertise.
I love that you said that word trust. Here's what I have found to be the most important formula for building a personal brand. It is this: content builds trust, Trust builds relationships, and then relationships convert. That's the reason to do this, right?
100%. I love that you start with trust, because this is where it all is. It's, people want to get your authenticity. They want to get who you are. They want to hear the truth from you. But that comes from your own voice. It comes from who you are. And the more people see you, the more they engage with you, the more they understand what you care about and can connect with you. And that gets your message across. And just like you said, that stays out there. That circulates for a long time. We often hear from creators that a post that they did 3 months ago all of a sudden just got new engagement, because the reality is when people trust you and they trust your expertise, they'll seek that out again and start to share that and use that and reference it. And knowledge, when you share it, stays consistently there on the platform, and it's a great resource.
Also, when you are sharing that kind of stuff and you're sharing it repetitively, it creates signal out of noise. I think people are afraid to be repetitive on LinkedIn, to be sharing the same kinds of ideas, to be returning to the same messages. But I say, don't be afraid of being repetitive, because the thing is, people aren't focused on your content the way that you're focused on your content. People are seeing lots of stuff in a feed every day. A bunch of it is going to be noise to them. And if you have a meaningful idea and you're able to consistently share versions of it, what you're really doing is you're training people to recognize that you are a valuable voice. You're creating signal in the noise.
I love the idea of consistency here. And I think most managers know, if you've taken a management training, they'll say you need to repeat the idea back to your employee 3 times before they pay attention, right? Like, the idea being that the first time you hear an idea, you kind of check it off, but you forget it again. The second time you start to pay attention, the third time you start to click in and remember it. I think this idea of having consistency in what you talk about is a good thing. And people shouldn't be afraid of that, because a lot of times it takes a couple times to stick with people. And the more that you are associated with an idea and expertise, the better. You can go deeper into that. And I wouldn't be afraid of repeating, because people don't see every single post. You might be on vacation, you might come back the next week, but people still get value out of that, and they get value out of another way of phrasing it, or a new context or a new example that adds on to that expertise.
Yeah, you know, that's actually something I do all the time. In fact, as we're taping today, I did it today, which is that I will regularly go back through my top performing posts and find something that did really well 9 months ago and then just rework it slightly. I'll read it and I'll say, oh, that actually sparks a slightly different idea, but I'm posting 90% the same material, but it was 9 months ago. It gets great engagement. Never does somebody say, hey, wait a second, you posted that 9 months ago. Instead, yeah. People love it.
100%. There's knowledge and examples and learnings that are evergreen, but when they're rephrased, when they're refreshed, when they're new in your feed, people can engage with that again. They can have a new conversation and make new connections and bring that to the forefront of the now, because there's learnings that are just really become more resonant over time even. Mm.
Okay, so Laura, let's start getting tactical now. I had promised we're gonna talk about where to start on defining your personal brand, and then how to find the right things to say, and then how to actually reach the right people. So let's start at the beginning of that, which is figuring out where to start for someone who is totally new to this, who understands, they've heard us, they've heard other people say this is really important. They say, okay, I get it, but where do I actually start to do this? Where do they start?
Yes. So one is, I would start with your profile. Make sure it's up to date. Make sure there's a little bit of summary, but also really pay attention to the headline you put for yourself. Because if you pay attention on LinkedIn, that headline is what follows your content. And a lot of people, if people don't know you right now, they'll look at your name, then they'll look at your headline, and they'll match that to what you're saying. They're kind of within that context trying to understand your credibility and your expertise. So the more you are thoughtful about how that headline reflects that credibility and expertise of what you want to speak to, the better. It's going to give that context in real time. Secondly,
yeah. Oh, before you go, let's just kind of give an example of what you're talking about. So I'll see a lot of people, instead of just sharing CEO of blank company or whatever, they'll say, I help people do whatever. They're almost benefit statements to explain their value.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a few ways you can do it, right? Like if you're CEO of Google, done. Just put that as your headline. Yeah, you're good easy. To go. If you're somebody who, you know, you're an AI consultant or a management consultant, being more descriptive about that value and your expertise is helpful because people may not immediately know you. But when they see, when they describe that benefit statement of what you're doing, the value you add and where that expertise is coming from, the more they can say, okay, great, I have the context. Now I'm going to, now I want to connect into the content because I believe this person, I trust this person. Right. So take that seriously, craft it, be very thoughtful about that headline that's going to follow you around. Create three pillars. And one pillar is what you do. You're probably an expert in. I think, Jason, you're a journalist, you're in media, you're an expert in that. But second is what the subject matter that you're an expertise in, right? Entrepreneurship, media, trends in media, trends in entrepreneurship. But there's also a third piece that everybody has, which is the softer side of things. Whether it's you're a manager or you're a parent and how do you do the work-life balance? I think this idea of from what you do, what you're an expert in, to how you do the work, all three of these things matter. And all of your content should be a mix of these pieces because they are both your expertise, your hard knowledge, but also who you are. And it helps people feel connected to you over time. I think balancing that is really important as you grow your content calendar, if you will.
Yeah, I agree. Here's how I've come to think of what you just said there. When people build a personal brand, they often are emphasizing the wrong word. They think about personal, but it's not about being personal. It's actually about being a brand. If you think about what a brand is three things. A brand is simple, a brand is repeatable, and a brand is scalable. And if you were to try to be a human version of that, then what you're really thinking about is who am I to my professional audience? That's being simple. And then repeatable is like, what do I have to say that I can say over and over again? And then scalable is how do I reach the most correct people with my content? And if you start to think of it like that, then it shoves out all of this stuff that people often associate with personal brands. Nobody cares what you had for breakfast. Nobody cares about your vacation. What they care about is what you have to say that's super relevant to them. And so that focusing exercise of making yourself simple, repeatable, and scalable turns you into a brand that's just as resonant as Coca-Cola. People understand what Coca-Cola is. They need to understand what you are just as fast.
Definitely. And I think this idea of making sure you bring your authenticity into that, right? Nobody wants to hear a marketing advertisement, but the more you bring your authentic voice into that, of like, okay, here's where my brand is, but here's what it means coming from me. And how that sounds different, how that how you share it is different than what you would from a company page, right? You're bringing yourself into that brand. And I think that's where you really hit that sweet spot. Value is not in virality. And I think people sometimes just want the likes because it does feel good. There's a little bit of an ego.
Yeah, it feels great.
But the reality is, and what I talk about a lot on LinkedIn is that pay attention to the who. Like, who do you really care about? Because you might not care about the third 300 likes. You probably only care about those 100 or 10 or 20. Because if you reach the right people, that's transformative for your business. And that's why a lot of creators are here, right? Because they want to make sure that they're getting the right business prospects. They're getting the right career opportunities.
Well, I think that transitions us nicely into the next subject, which is how to find the right things to say. So let's say that, you know, what you just said there, Laura, which is to look at who is consuming your content, who's looking at your profile, are they in the right industries, are they holding the right titles? That is controllable in a way, right? You can control who you're reaching, and the way that you're going to do that is by writing relevant content that's going to reach the people who you want to reach. So unpack for me what strategies people should be thinking about as they craft content that's actually going to hit their target.
That's a great question. I think there's a few buckets to think about. I think one is a lot of what we talked about earlier, which is kind of these repeatable things. So like having the insights that you know are relevant to your company, your work, your career, that you can kind of reshape, share new examples around, expand on. So what is that? What is your expertise and those kind of that nugget that you always want to build around? I think that's something that you can kind of consistently know that you can turn back to. I think secondly, there is always an area where of news and the ability to put news in context for people, the ability to add your layer within the news of, hey, here's what it means. Here's how to stop and think about this. I think tariffs has been one of the biggest one that we've seen. Creators and business people say, like, here's how I'm thinking about it. Here's how I'm weighing in. Because when you're helping other leaders put that news in context, you are helping them, right? You're helping other leaders to say, like, oh, that's really, I didn't think about that. Maybe I should consider that aspect of the tariff, or maybe I should consider doing this with my business as I try to adapt. That really puts that real-time nature in there for people to turn to you. And then the third is the ability to also share behind the scenes. Let people into what it's like to do your work or build your business. And I think having that personal bit within the mix helps people to say, remind who you are, keep it in the professional space. But this idea of giving like a glimpse behind the scenes is really helpful for people.
I think that distinction is really important. Who you are, but within the professional space. That reminds me of a concept that has been really transformative to me, which is this. If you're worried about how to present yourself on social media, then don't put yourself on social media. Instead, create a 5% character of yourself and put that on social media instead. That is how I think everybody should frame themselves. When you put all of you out on social media, it is big and messy. You're a whole complex person and there's a lot to share and say, but there's 5% of you that's super relevant to your audience. 5% of you that is just extremely confident about the insights into what professionals who you want to reach need to know. And once you think, okay, what 5% of me and my knowledge is most relevant to that audience, then you can start to also think, well, okay, if I'm going to play a character that is hyper-focused and relevant to my audience, then what does that character sound like? What does that character have to say? How does that character present? Is that character always enthusiastic? Is that character a real talker? Is that character long-winded? Is that character short and punchy and funny? I have spent a long time thinking about how I present as a version of myself that isn't all of me, but is the relevant part of me that an audience of professionals can connect to and rely upon. And once I figured that out for myself, I realized how scalable it was, because that 5% character is now the person who also shows up on videos like this one, or the 5% character is also the one who shows up on stage when I give keynotes. And once you define your 5% character, it also helps you make decisions. So for example, my 5% character I've decided is always optimistic and useful. And that means that sometimes I see things that I might want to complain about on LinkedIn, or something that someone did wrong that I would like to call out. But I say, wait a second, that's not what the 5% character would do. The 5% character would instead find something that someone did that went right and explain why it was so smart. And that creates this consistency that also then builds the relationships, because people know that you're going to be steady and reliable. They always know what to expect from you. And I think that that ultimately helps create the bonds that turn into business.
I love that. I think there's a term, right? Trust is consistency over time. So when people know what Jason is, they know what I'm going to get from Jason. I'm going to get a straight talking, enthusiastic, great advice. You know, they trust you and they continue to look for you in their feed, right? They make sure that they get the latest thing. They're following your newsletter. They're opening your newsletter. It's that idea of when they know what they're going to get from you, there's that trust. And there's the consistency of them turning to you for that expertise over time.
Yeah. Another thing that I do a lot, which I want to share with you and see what you think, is I think about what, you know, when people are building their personal brands, they often ask, where do ideas come from? How do I find the things that I'm going to say? And I have found for me the most valuable source of ideas is real life in the moment. It is conversations that I'm having with people where maybe somebody asks me for advice, or maybe I'm just talking with another entrepreneur and we're spitballing ideas and I will say something or they will say something and both of us go, oh, that's a great idea. And I think too many people just let those ideas pass and they forget them. And I have trained myself to always write them down. So the second that something pops out of my mouth that's useful to someone else, or the second that someone says something to me that makes me think, I grab my phone, I open up my notes app, and I just jot it down really fast. And then tomorrow, when I sit down at the table in the morning and think, what am I going to post on LinkedIn today? I look back at those notes often and I say, ah, that is great content. So capturing ideas in real life requires a habit of writing it down in the moment. But what you will end up with is a catalog of great ideas that can produce content for months and years.
It's a brilliant tip. Because at the end of the day, when you're sitting at your own desk, that's not when you have the ideas. You're wrapped up in things. You're finishing an email. It's in conversation usually that the best ideas start to percolate and for you. But the minute you walk away, other things start to take over. I love the idea of, like, in the moment, how do I take that note? How do I write it down, jot it enough to remember it? I sometimes do that too, even in my, you can do draft posts in LinkedIn. You can just, like, I'll just write a sentence in a draft and kind of plug it away there and come back to it. And it's there for me if I need it. But I think that's really smart. I also think don't be afraid to see what other people in your industry and niche are talking about. You can also respond. You can also build on ideas. And I think this idea of everyone's starting a conversation, and it's great when communities come in and continue to build on that conversation. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. Reference it. Give that person credit. Build on that idea. Add your examples. Because this is all communities that are sharing their knowledge and sharing their ideas together.
Laura, everyone wants to know, what does the LinkedIn algorithm actually preference? What content actually gets rewarded on LinkedIn? What is the answer to that?
First and foremost, we at LinkedIn care about value. I care about every single person logging on and getting value out of LinkedIn every single day. And that starts in the feed. That starts with how we're giving you the right content. So we are looking for, how are people sharing knowledge? How are people sharing unique insights? And most importantly, how are they starting meaningful conversations with their community? So the post is just the beginning. It's the way that people come in and add their ideas on top. And so the idea being, share what you know, share insights, and start that conversation with your community. And that's what you're going to see a lot more, because we want to make sure that that knowledge that you have is reaching the entire community, because that's when real economic opportunity happens.
What I have heard from other conversations with your team is, building off of what you just said, is that the LinkedIn algorithm is trained to recognize unique knowledge and advice that is built off of your personal expertise. And that to me was really clarifying, because on other platforms, what's rewarded is just the ability to grab an eyeball as fast as possible. So videos with just a really good hook will then spread far and wide. But I know that LinkedIn doesn't actually want people to try to game for virality, because that is the opposite of thoughtful conversation. So instead, you're really training the algorithms on recognizing, is somebody saying something that is distinctive and unique and drawn from their own personal professional experience and expertise. And I have found the way in which to apply that is to take things that are grabby, frankly. So let's say an image of a really smart ad, and that's going to get people's attention. And maybe on another platform, the image of that ad by itself would be the thing that would propel a post. But that doesn't work on LinkedIn. Instead, I've got to pair it with really smart insight about why that ad works and what kind of marketing insight that ad is representative of. And it's that thing that drives the comments on my post, which then amplifies it to other people. Am I understanding that right?
Absolutely. It's that insight. It's that, like, unique take of knowledge that's helping other people, that's giving them the context that they need to be better at what they're doing. That's what our algorithm really rewards. There's a few other things that starting the conversation does matter. And so the way you're engaging your community, the way you're asking them to add to this idea, that's also really going to help. And another thing you're going to see within our algorithm is content tends to last a little longer. you'll see your likes and your comments continue over several days versus other platforms. You'll usually peak and fade pretty quickly. And that's intentional because if there's really good knowledge, that will continue to spread and add value to people over time.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot, actually. Maybe you can break this down for me. I just posted something last week, for example. And by the end of the day, I'd say maybe it had 50,000 impressions. And I thought, well, I guess that one did okay. Yeah. But then the next day, it got up to 100. And now it's at about 400 to 500,000 impressions. And so what I'm seeing is a building of audience over time. Mm-hmm. So is this what we should normally be thinking about and expecting? And is there a way to, I don't want to say game for that, but is there a way to be thinking about what content is going to have that long tail?
It's a good question. There's no secret sauce here. Sometimes you will get that burst pretty quickly and it will continue then grow kind of slowly over time. Sometimes it'll be a small climb. I've seen both happen. There's no secret to the algorithm in this. It's really about the content and it's really about the community engaging with it. So when you share great knowledge, it can be a slow burn where people add to it, people reshare it, and that grows over time. It could also be a situation where you're sharing a really great timely insight and it goes, you know, like hotcakes and it kind of speeds off. Both are great. Neither are better than another, but this idea, it all comes back to the knowledge. It all comes back to the value of what you're putting there. And over time, you're going to see that that pays off and continues to kind of grow your content.
So here's a hot take on how to build the perfect LinkedIn post. I want to know what you think about it. This is the system that I have put together. To build an amazing LinkedIn post that's going to grab a lot of attention, you need to build a attention funnel for each post. And that means that you have to think about three things in a particular order. And here they are. The first is just how to grab attention, which can be an arresting image. Maybe that's of you, or maybe that's of something that you're writing about, but it's got to grab people's attention fast. Then you have to signal who this post is for. So in the first few words that you write, you have to be acknowledging in some way your audience by sharing something that's going to say, this is for marketers. This is for people who are interested in retail. This is for whatever. The words that you're using immediately have to identify who you are targeting. And then the third thing that you have to do is that you have to signal the value that's to come. An example of this might be that I might write a post about a really smart advertisement that I saw. So the image is going to be that advertisement, and I'm going to put a little caption on top of it, which I just build in Canva. So now that is immediately grabbing someone's attention. Oh, that looks like an interesting ad, and it's about whatever. Then the next thing that I'm going to, the hook that I'm going to write is going to start by saying, this ad got 15 million views on YouTube. Now, immediately that is signaling interest to people who are interested in marketing or social reach or something. And then the next part of what I'm going to write is, by following the number one rule of marketing against a competitor or something like that. And now that's promising the value to come, saying, this is what I'm going to tell you. What do you think?
I think that's it. I love the how much you emphasize that hook, and you talk about the visual nature of the hook and the text nature of the hook, because that's what stops people. That stops the scroll, right? And you need something that we talk a little bit of, like, start your post in the middle. And not literally, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The hook is like, what's the most interesting part of your post? Put it at the top. Stop people. And then explain that, right? Then get into the so what of it. And it's exactly what you said. Like, hook the people. Tell them what you're going to, the payoff here. And then get them into it. Because you need to stop the scroll. But then you need the payoff, right? Because that's what's going to get the, like, oh, man, that was awesome. That was super smart. Let me like that. Let me share that. Let me comment on that. And I also highly recommend ask your community at the end, right? Actually invite them into the comments. And I think that can help to kind of hook them, deliver, and then bring that conversation piece around.
Can you tell me about some of the trends that you're seeing right now about what's performing really well, just in terms of either structure of post or kind of image?
Yeah, so I think text and image is still just such a good pairing. I think it stands out. It stops people. Also video. People really need to consider how they're sharing information in video. Video views are up 36% year over year. People are just really, really hungry to get context and information in the professional context on video. And I think what's so unique about LinkedIn in this context is it's 2 minutes well spent. It may not be as entertaining, but you're gonna get really awesome value. I've been using it a lot for great news analysis. I follow some really interesting journalists and reporters, and the way that they're breaking down this professional news is awesome. I'm seeing it from entrepreneurs. I'm seeing it from people sharing leadership takes. It's just a really powerful medium where you can kind of do a little bit more of a sit back. I do it a lot when I'm commuting, but it's a really powerful part of your creation portfolio.
Let's now move into myths and questions.
Yeah.
What are the things that people most are asking you? I'm going to tell you the first one that people ask me all the time, and I am excited to hear your answer, which is this. Can people include links in their post?
The short answer is yes, obviously. Use links where they're relevant. The long answer is that there is a perception among people that, oh, are you trying to sell me something? What is that link? So there's a little bit of psychology in it, but in terms of the actual algorithm, there's not a problem. But you need to follow the post best practices that we talked about earlier. Hook them, get them in, get them to know what matters, deliver value. And if there's a link that goes deeper or, you know, gives them more context, it's totally fine to add. But I think no matter what, you got to focus on the knowledge that you're leading into with that link.
People worry that they can't include a link in a post because it will depress the reach. But actually, the real problem is that when people include links in posts, typically, they're writing a post that is just trying to get people to click the link. Right. And that's not an interesting post. It doesn't share any kind of knowledge and advice. It doesn't drive any kind of comments. And therefore, of course, people are not going to engage with that post. And therefore, that post is not going to reach lots of people. But if you write great content that stands by itself in a post, and then you happen to throw a link in there, it is not going to impact the reach of that post at all.
Correct.
Is that right?
That you explained it perfectly. Links in themselves, there's nothing wrong with it. Our algorithm is really focusing on the content and the value that's being shared in the post. And what we have found too from talking to creators is if you are writing great knowledge in that post, people are also more likely to be interested in, oh, what else can I get? What's more that I can get if I go to that link? But if there's not that context and there's not that trust that you're going to give me really meaningful knowledge, it's just not as likely that people are going to engage with the post and click the link. So it really comes back to the core tenets of creating really helpful knowledge-based content.
Awesome. Okay, let's lightning round a few others here. People always ask, did LinkedIn just change the algorithm to make it harder to reach people? What's the answer?
No. Short answer. It's all about knowledge and value. It gets back to what we talked about. It's really about how are you bringing your unique insights? How are you engaging the community? How are you starting those conversations? And that's what gets valued in the feed.
What's the deal with LinkedIn's hashtags? Do I need them?
Hashtags are nice to have. They are not a need to have. I think a lot of the algorithms now are super smart in how they're understanding the actual content of the post and able to match that with the ways of people are engaging with other content. So hashtags can be helpful in terms of like a signal to members when they're looking for things. But don't muddy your posts. Don't use too many. And it's okay if you don't use them.
If I tag somebody in a post, does it matter if they engage or not? There is a myth that if I tag someone in a post and they don't engage in the post, then the post will actually depress reach because it is invalidated by the person that I tagged. Does that matter at all?
I would say tag people when it's relevant. Tag people if you're talking about them. Tag people if you feel like this is relevant to them. It does not affect your post if they engage or not, but ultimately you want to be respectful of how you're bringing people into the conversation, how you're referencing them. But it's a great thing to use. It's a great thing to do to make sure people are connecting with you, connecting across the site, and being tagged into what there is relevant for them.
When I post, who actually sees my content? Is it going to reach all of my followers?
Ultimately, it's about the value, right? And it's also the complexity of the feed. So everything each day is based on what's going on, where your followers are, and the complexity of what they need to see that day. So the answer is your followers are likely to see it, but they may not necessarily see it based on when they log on and how they log on.
Well, that makes me think of another one. is there a perfect time to post on LinkedIn? You'll see the reports that on Tuesdays at 8:45 a.m. Eastern is the perfect time. Is there actually a perfect time?
There's no one perfect time, but there are trends. And so I would say, generally speaking, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday mornings tend to do slightly better. I would say Friday afternoon is really not the time to do it. But a lot of these are anecdotal because, again, it depends on your own followers too, right? It depends on who your where your audience is, when they're logging on. These are generalities, but it's really going to be specific to how you've built up your followers and your audience too.
Can I build an audience by leaving comments? Do comments actually drive people back to me?
Yes, I love that you asked this. I really encourage people who are afraid to start doing their own content, I tell them to just go start commenting, start doing meaty comments on other people's posts, because it's such a powerful way to build up your own audience. And it's a powerful way to get seen by people who are outside of your community, right? When you leave a really smart additional context on somebody's idea, people see you, people who may not have known about you. And it's a really powerful mechanism to help community and to build up your own audience.
Laura, let me just put it back to you now. Are there any major questions or myths that you hear all the time that we should clarify right now?
Yes. Oh, man. You really touched on a lot of them. I think everything's become so polished with AI content, and that people are starting to wonder, like, well, am I hearing you or am I just hearing regurgitated ChatGPT? And Stephen Barlow is saying sometimes he adds typos into his posts purposefully, because it's that human touch to say, I wrote this, I did this, that brings that trust element back. And I think that's so interesting that as we get into this world of generative AI becomes much more common and people use it in good ways, people are also going to be looking for authentic voice and signals that they're getting your idea and not just an idea that they could have turned to ChatGPT for. And I think that's going to become really important. And I think that's going to be true in posts, but it's going to be true in comments too, where the way that you comment, the way you engage with community is as holistically important in that context.
That is super interesting. And also, Laura, brings us right back to the beginning of our conversation, because you said, and you're right, people connect with people, not with brands. And also, people connect with people, not with AI. And so in a ever more digitized world where AI can sound ever more human, the thing that's going to matter is our ability to put ourselves and our human selves out and build those human connections. And we'll find interesting new ways to do that. Right now, maybe it's inserting typos, but tomorrow it's something else. And it's ultimately all about making sure that you're constantly thinking about, how do I put me, the real human with my real human ideas and experiences, out there? Because that is the thing that's going to connect with people. And that's the thing that is unreplicatable in any other way.
That's exactly it. And ultimately, that's what the algorithm and the community rewards. That's what makes it work.
Well, Laura Lorenzetti, executive editor at LinkedIn, thank you so much for spending time with us today and for unpacking what goes into the perfect LinkedIn personal brand.
So great to chat with you, Jason.